Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you this fine sunny day?
James, I'm doing fantastic. I got a little bit of a cough. It's just a tickle in my throat. It's annoying the crap out of me, but I'm good. How are you?
Man, I'm feeling good. I'm very happy to get this going. And we got a really special episode going on today, being that the NFL draft is right around the corner. Obviously, we've been talking a lot about the Pittsburgh Steelers and their needs and specific targets. Today, we're also going to...
What? A Steelers podcast talking about the Steelers topics and needs? Crazy. Sorry, had to.
I'm glad you stopped me for that. So today we're actually going to dive specifically into the prospects from this year's Penn State Nittany Lion team. So there are a whole bunch of them.
We are.
Penn State.
I knew you'd love that.
So a lot of this is actually directly correlated to Steelers' needs. A lot of these guys that are available, these prospects, would fill immediate holes and possibly even long-term solutions for Pittsburgh. So we're going to dive right into this today and get you guys informed. And if you're Penn State fans also, then this is a double your pleasure, double your fun with peppermint gum or whatever that is.
Whatever it is. Yeah, no, commercials? No, I've never seen those. I don't have a clue what you're talking about. That must be before my time, as they say. But yeah, we're going to hop into this. We're going to go down pretty much the order at which we believe these players will be drafted for the most part. And so we're going to start off strong with the wide receiver. Wide receiver, Jahan Dotson. Jahan Dotson, the senior. Actually, no. Yeah, he's a senior. Receiver who sits at 5'10", 184 pounds. May be potentially the first-round draft pick Penn State's had at the wide receiver position since 2003. So that could be crazy.
Yeah. Jahan Dotson's just an elite talent right now. And it's going to be really fun to see where this goes. He had an incredible senior season, having 91 catches, almost 1,200 receiving yards, and 12 touchdowns to go on top of it. And then he had another touchdown rushing the ball. Penn State really did whatever they could to get the ball in his hands because he's that electric of a player. So really, really lightning after the catch. Good in contested catch situations. He's very fast, ran a 4.43 40-yard dash. On the smaller side at 5'10 and a half, 178 pounds. But one of those guys that really fights for every ball. In somebody that you just honestly, if Pittsburgh were to draft Jahan Dotson, I think he's immediately a better player than what you have in Deontay Johnson, and Deontay Johnson being the top receiver for the Steelers right now. So that's just my opinion on it. I feel he's a way more explosive athlete and drastically better hands than what you have with Deontay Johnson as well, and a similar sized guy. It's just one of those guys that could easily be a number one wide receiver. And if he was somehow your number two, he's one hell of a number two, man.
Yeah. Could he easily come in and fill a starting role one way or another, even if they wanted to just specifically start him at, you know, the slot position or the number two, obviously. Claypool being
You could put him in slot.
Yeah.
You could just put him in slot. And then, you know, if you don't extend Deontay, whatever, you're good because you got Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, very true. And Jahan Dotson, was very quick in his 40 time. 4.43 was what he ran at Penn State's pro day. 15 reps on the bench. It's not bad.
That's great for a 180-pound wide receiver. Are you serious? The 15's really good.
Yeah.
That's like the best I've ever done, and I'm like 210 pounds.
That's fair. Obviously, the 36 vertical jump and a 10-foot-1 broad jump. This guy, his numbers stack up well with where they have him placed in the draft in comparison to other receivers in his class. He could very easily be the third or fourth wide receiver off the board in some cases.
Easily.
So yeah. I don't see him being the first. I think there's a couple names that stick out a little bit more than that. But
this year doesn't have that number one, here's the guy.
It doesn't.
It's kind of wide open. It would have been Jameson Williams, but he tore his knee in the championship game. So he won't even play most likely this season. If he does, it'll be like second half of the year and that's it. So this is somebody that a lot of experts are saying will be drafted most likely in the end of the first round. If not, somebody will scoop him in the beginning of the second right away. There's no way he'll last to Pittsburgh in the second round.
Oh my gosh. No.
But one heck of a talent nonetheless.
Yeah.
Do you want to move over to the safety position, Cody?
Yeah. Yeah. Safety. You guys have heard us talk about this guy before, Jaquan Brisker, a guy that James and I both have Pittsburgh. If he's there in the second round or even in, not, they wouldn't draft him in the first, but if he falls in the second round, that's a steal in this year's draft. Brisker being the starting, he would come in and be more likely the starting strong safety for yeah. Pittsburgh right away. 6'1", 199 pounds. A phenomenal athlete and a capable coverage guy. He does well. I think he'd probably be one of the better safeties as far as guarding tight ends in the NFL that are available in the draft. I don't think he'd be maybe not the best, but he's probably better than the other guy we drafted in last week's mock draft.
yeah, definitely be an upgrade from that. My biggest takeaways when you're talking about Jaquan Brisker, obviously I watched all the Penn State games last mm-hmm. year, so I've got some good insight. And he's been a star on that defense for 2 years now. So 3 years ago, two interceptions last year, one interception this most recent season, two interceptions. His ball hawking capabilities, he just has a nose for the ball. He's one of those guys that can cover sideline to sideline very easily, just covers a lot of space. And it shows in his 40-yard dash. Now, at the combine, he ran a 4.49, at his pro day, a 4.43. If you watched the combine performance, he did his bench press, his vertical, his broad, and then the 40. That's the way everybody does the drills. He pulled up at the end of his 40-yard dash. So that's a 4.49 with an injury happening during it that did not allow him to continue full stride the entire way through it. So the 4.43 is probably an accurate time based off of the fact that he was not able to run all the way through it at the combine. So when you're talking a 4.43 40 on a safety that weighed in at 200 there, but weighed in at 206 at his pro day, yep. which I think is a little closer to his natural weight. He probably tried to drop a couple pounds of water weight or whatever,
yeah,
for his combine performance, which a lot of these guys do at the skill positions, not uncommon at all. But so we're talking an explosive athlete, a playmaker, a nose for the ball, an excellent tackler. Man, I would be drooling if he was the next safety opposite of Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, and I don't blame you. So he improved on his 40 time and his vertical jump from the combine at his pro day. Obviously the 4.49 to the 4.43 on his pro day, and then a 34.5-inch vert to then at the pro day doing a 38.5-inch vert.
Wow.
Drastically better numbers there. Four whole.
Yeah, so yeah. So he cut and then losing, so he lost some explosion.
Yep.
Yep.
So,
no surprise. Talk about that bench. Do you got the bench reps there?
I got the bench. I got the bench reps there. 22 on the bench.
Let's talk weight room, baby. A 200-pound safety with 22 reps.
And that's what you want out of a strong safety. You need those guys to be big hitters. Minkah's not a big hitter. I wish he was, but he's not. Minkah is not the answer when it comes to forced fumbles, big hits, big plays. A lot of the times he's throwing his body at someone. We've talked about missed tackles before. Brisker would be a bruiser, to say the least. That's what I'm going to keep it at. Jaquan
Let's
Bruiser.
Bruiser.
Jaquan I like Bruiser.
You know what I love about this, too, is that gives you two guys that are dang near like the same athlete.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I mean, Minkah was 6'1", 207. Brisker, 6'1", 206. Same size, slightly different playing style. Incredible athleticism. I think if he's available in the second round and the Steelers have not taken a safety in the first round, they need to jump all over it because Brisker could easily be a starting safety for Pittsburgh for the next 10 years if they were to do that. And just would be one amazing combo with him and Minkah. Moving off of the safety position, we've got a couple edge defenders in this year's class.
Yeah.
Starting off with a guy who started for the first year for Penn State this most recent year, Arnold Ebiketie. He was sitting out there on the edge all year long, getting a lot of pressures on the quarterback. I want to say he had 6+ sacks on the season. I don't remember exactly how many, but a 6'2", 250-pound outside linebacker is what he would be in the Steelers scheme. Might be a defensive end in a 4-3 front. But regardless, a pass rusher, and that's his specialty. You always look at arm length on these guys on the outside. It's important for offensive tackles. It's important for edge rushers, too. Yeah. 34 and an eighth inch long arms is really good length for a 6 foot two outside linebacker.
Very good.
So he's missing or hitting the mark there on what you're looking for as well. What about his reps on the bench, vertical, broad jump?
Explosion
numbers. These are important numbers.
19 reps on the bench. His vert was 38 inches. Broad was 10 feet, 8 inches. Going back to the sack column, 7 sacks on the season. He was also the first Nittany Lion to notch multiple field goal blocks in a season since 2004. So some special teams capability there to be able to block some field goals, stuff like that. He's explosive.
He had 21 reps at the combine too. So
correct.
He did a little better
at the pro day
than he did than the pro day. So that's adequate strength. That'll improve as he gets older and more experienced in the league. But to me, you look at for edge rushers, the 40-yard dash isn't as important as the broad and the vert and even the 10-yard split in a 40-yard dash, because that shows you how explosive they are. Those first 3-4 steps, can you push the tackle and can you force them to be in a retreating situation to give yourself a two-way go? If you can get them moving backwards faster than normal, now you can go inside or outside on them on your pass rush and really open up your possibilities as far as a pass rusher.
Yep.
So with elite numbers and his vertical and broad, that really shows you the weaponry needed. That and the arm length, that's superior arm length for a guy his size. That's why a lot of people have Arnold Ebiketie as a second round pick, third at the very latest. But some people are saying he might even sneak into the back half of the first round. So there's a possibility there. But the kind of guy that if you were to draft him, he might end up beating out Alex Highsmith, but would be immediately the best number three outside linebacker on the team, and it wouldn't be very close.
Yeah. Oh, hands down. Especially with the players that we've lost, he would easily be the number three and able to come in and play both sides, which would be nice. Moving on to the next guy.
Yes, and this is a monumental guy for our podcast, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jesse Lucchetta, formerly of Canada, but after he played his high school ball, after his middle school, to Erie, Pennsylvania to play his high school ball, which he did at Mercyhurst Prep School. So this was via Erie Christian Academy was the school he was going to. They don't have a football team, so they partner up with Mercyhurst Preparatory School. And he was a standout. He played wide receiver. He played running back. He played safety. He played everything, really.
Yep.
But at Penn State, he did linebacker, sometimes middle linebacker, sometimes edge rusher. I felt that he was a lot more natural as an edge rusher, just didn't have the speed and movement skills that you're looking for typically in a middle linebacker, but a really stout, really strong dude that didn't get moved easily. 6'3", 253 pounds, so he's got that stereotypical size that you're looking for again on the edge rusher. 32 and 5/8 inch on his arm length, which is good. It's not as elite as what you're seeing with Arnold Ebiketie, but it's still good arm length. He's not going to get swallowed up by those offensive tackles real easily.
Yep.
Not the fastest dude in the world. He ran a 4.89 40 at the combine, but again, he pulled up on his as well. He also had an injury at the combine. When I was done watching the combine all week long, I'm like, geez, these poor Penn State guys, they're like all getting injured during their 40, which sucked for them because then they didn't get to go through the positional drills.
Yeah, and so he weighed in at the combine at 253. He weighed in at the pro day at 257 and ran the same 40 time. So
nice.
Whether because of injury or whatever, running the same time at a higher weight is not a bad thing.
No.
By any means.
No, so he didn't gain any speed by dropping weight, so he won't bother dropping weight in the league, that's for sure. And again, like we talked about before, the 40 for an edge guy isn't as important as those explosive numbers on the vertical leap, the broad jump, and what do you have on a 10-yard split. He ran a 1.68 on his 10-yard split, which that's is huge. How fast he covers the first 10 yards. that's the kind of number that you see from like running backs sometimes. Yep. That's a really good number for a 250 plus pound edge rusher.
Yeah, and it's important to note that at the combine, as we see in our notes, 9.6 on the broad. At the pro day, he did a 10 flat on the broad.
That's
so
great.
So even more explosiveness there at a higher weight, probably not dealing with whatever injury he may have been dealing with at the combine. That's phenomenal explosion, an explosion from him is what you need from your edge rushers, like you just said. It's not so much the vertical downhill or downfield speed as much as it is how fast you can get off the line, burst through the line, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you don't want them racing people. You want them to be explosive in those first four or five steps off the line of scrimmage, and that's exactly what he is. He had a 37.5-inch vertical leap, and this is a guy that's almost 260 pounds.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. That's impressive. I would love an edge rusher who could chase down Tyreek Hill. I just don't think that's humanly possible right now.
Dallas has one.
Whatever. We're not going to talk about Dallas.
Micah Parsons.
We don't talk about Dallas. This is the Steelers podcast.
This is a Penn State-centric episode today, and Micah Parsons, a former Penn State Nittany Lion, I think he ran the 4.3s when he came out. Jeez. So, stupid fast linebacker. They do exist. It's just rare. Shazier would have been able to catch him, too.
Probably. You want to know who's not a super fast linebacker? Brandon Smith. Brandon Smith, middle linebacker. Again, from where? Surprise, Penn State. Weighed in at 6'3.5", 250 pounds, 34 5/8-inch long arms, 4.5 240. Not blazing speed.
That is fast for that big of a linebacker. But for that big, dude.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm just saying he's not blazing fast. That's all.
What do you consider blazing fast for a linebacker then?
4.3. We just talked about it. Or 4.4. We just talked about him.
Nobody does that though.
Somebody did
like
it.
One guy.
Somebody
a year.
Did it. So we just talked about him, James.
Okay, so in this year's combine, he was probably the second fastest of all the middle linebackers, only to Christian Harris, who was only 225 pounds.
Whatever.
So to me, that is a very fast middle linebacker. We won't call him blazing. I don't want to upset Cody here. But this is a very fast, very athletic middle linebacker. Brandon Smith just didn't seem to have the same kind of natural instincts that you saw out of Micah Parsons, that you might have seen out of some other linebackers. But with extreme length and extreme athletic ability, this is the kind of dude that really is that mold of clay that people are looking for. I don't see him lasting past the third round because of his athletic testing and because of his length and his frame. This is somebody that you could probably transition to edge rusher if he's just not that good in space, if he's just not that good at reading and diagnosing whether it's a run play and where it's going and where his running back's going to be and does he need to be on the tight end or whatever. Stick him on the edge and tell him to go run after the quarterback. He's got the size to do it.
It's fair. You're not wrong.
I mean, think about last year. It was Jason Owe who ended up being changing his first name to his original name of Odafe Owe, goes to Baltimore and has one heck of a season. He's just an athletic freak. Stick your athletic freaks on the outside and give them space.
True. Who are we talking about next?
We're going to move to middle linebacker Ellis Brooks. Not talked about anywhere near as much as the other three linebackers that we've talked about from Penn State. But to just kind of reiterate why it's so important to talk about all these guys, Pittsburgh sent both linebacker coaches to this pro day. Both of them.
Do you mean the one that,
a former head coach?
The one that got a job made out for him to be with us?
Yeah, one of them that was such a talented coach that we just created a position and said, hey, we want your mind here.
That wasn't exactly why, but I'll give you it. Mike Tomlin was interviewed with like part of the reason why, which I think had a lot more to do with. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But he said he owed it to him because he didn't want him to get blackballed, which was basically about what was going to happen.
Yeah. Anyways, Ellis Brooks. 6'1", 6'1", and a what? He's like 6'1 and a 3/8, I believe.
It's like 6'1 and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he weighed in at 226, but honestly, I think he played a lot heavier than that.
I would agree.
I don't think that's his natural weight. He was a real stout looking dude at Penn State. He was that guy that, you know, once every three games, he'd have 10 or 11 tackles and be stopping every runner that they went against. And then the next two games, he'd just kind of disappear and you didn't know he was on the field. So a real streaky player with his capabilities would be kind of a run stopper extraordinaire if you were looking for that kind of guy, but not super explosive. He was a 4.77 40 yard dash guy.
Yeah. 23 reps on the bench though at his pro day, just saying.
That's and very strong.
Pro day and combine. So there was consistency there to say the least. Mm-hmm. 33 and a half inch vert was the same at both. And then the 9.2 broad as well was the same at both. So these guys,
they're not awful numbers, not elite numbers. He's in the middle. That's the kind of guy you would expect to be able to contribute.
And that's where you would expect he's the type of player you'd expect to be available in the fourth or fifth round or anything like that, which is where if Pittsburgh potentially needed a linebacker at this point, that's where they could potentially get him. It makes sense.
Yeah. If you don't take a linebacker in the first four rounds, then you don't have a fifth round pick. Now you're talking sixth and seventh. If a guy like Ellis Brooks is there in the sixth round, jump on him, man.
And if you guys are questioning it because of the middle linebacker depth, us having four middle linebackers already, potentially five or more, go back to the last episode of the podcast. Listen to that. We talked about that a little bit when we did our mock draft about the potential depth there, the addition of Miles Jack, Devin Bush, who we don't know what's happening with in the future, Buddy Johnson, who was drafted last year. We talk about that a little bit more in depth in the last episode. If you have questions about that, also don't be afraid to reach out to us. Tell us your opinion, why you would or wouldn't draft a linebacker in this year's draft. We'd love to hear from you guys and be able to talk about your input on the podcast as well. So just a little reminder there.
The expiring contracts are the reason why, too, you know, because Devin Bush last year of his deal, Robert Spillane last year of his deal, Marcus Allen on a one-year deal, like all these guys are on the end of their contracts. You're going to have to reload at some point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. So again, there's no blazing speed, no crazy numbers here. But again, he had 47 Penn State game appearances dating back to his redshirt freshman campaign in 2018. And competing in every regular season matchup along the way, starting 20 contests and totaling 229 tackles as a whole is phenomenal. Only five sacks, but again, that's a lot of tackles in a career like that, which is...
How many tackles was that again?
229.
Yeah, that's a ton of tackles.
That's a ton of tackles. Absolutely. And he was also... Brooks was the most productive Penn State player not to pick up a combine invitation. So there's that.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I was surprised personally that he didn't get the invite, especially since he was at the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
It's kind of rare that a Senior Bowl guy does not get invited to the combine, but it happened. So he also didn't have a good appearance at the Senior Bowl. That was one of those games that he disappeared, unfortunately.
That's fair.
Which is a bad time for that to happen.
Time to go to the secondary again.
Yeah. We missed talking about, I was going to talk about three Castro Fields earlier in the podcast, and I totally forgot to do
that. That doesn't bother me.
We're going to talk about him now. So this is the corner. That's the guys covering the wide receivers out there with the prototypical size of what people love to see. That 6 foot and 1/2 inch, 197 pounds. His arms are a little bit on the short side with 30 3/4 inch long arms, but that's pretty common among this year's draft class. There's only a couple of guys that are 32 inches or longer with their arm length in the cornerback position this year. A lot of them have pretty short arms. So that being almost 31 inches is pretty close to standard in this year's class.
Yeah.
But with that kind of height, weight, and a run on a 4.38 40 is going to catch some people's attention. And that's why a lot of people have them going second or third round in the draft. Won't be surprised if that happens at all, because people take a shot at a guy with the right size and the right speed and then say, hey, we'll coach him up on the rest.
Because size and speed are the two things you can't change about a person. Size and speed.
Cannot change those.
You can. There's an aspect of acceleration that you can change, but top speed is top speed.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Unless you give him a motor. I don't know.
Yeah, you can go to like a speed coach that can help you out a little bit, but he's not going to make a slow guy fast. He'll make a slow guy a hair faster.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So again, you talked about it. 4.38 40 for him. 14 reps on the bench. 37 inch vert and a 10'11" broad. It's phenomenal.
That's a tremendous broad jump.
That's tremendous. Yeah. So again, don't be surprised if he goes earlier in the draft than what he's ranked. Pro Football Focus has him ranked at 129th overall.
Okay, that would put him right in the fourth round range then.
Yeah, I expect him to go before 129. Not going to lie. Maybe we'll keep track of that, see where he actually winds up going.
Yeah, when we do mock drafts, he's usually gone by the Steelers' third round pick.
Yeah.
So that gives you a little insight as to what the Draft Network thinks versus what Pro Football Focus thinks. Which, you know, Pro Football Focus is a great area to get a lot of information, but as far as their draft rankings, sometimes they're a little bit inaccurate. And if you use their mock draft simulator, you can totally trade one pick for like 10 in return. It's a little bit skewed on some of that stuff. Good source for information on statistics is what I like to say about them.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Next guy we're going to talk about.
Cincinnati-based organization. They don't really like the Steelers too much.
Yeah, fair enough. Next guy, big defensive tackle. Derek Tangelo.
Derek Tangelo.
6'1" 7/8", 296 pounds. That's pretty big. Ran a 4.89.
That's very quick for a 300-pound defensive lineman.
That is very quick for that 296 pounds. Bro, if I saw 296 pounds moving at me at a 4.89 40 speed, I'd be moving.
Yeah, get out the way.
Yeah.
Move, Cody. Get out the way.
Yeah, boy. I like it. But yeah, so 4.89, 21 reps on the bench. I would have liked to have seen a higher number there, but I'm not like discouraged by that by any means. Again, where he's being looked at, he's unranked on Pro Football Focus, by the way.
But
if you get him at a, you know, seventh round,
this is like a seventh or seventh round or an undrafted.
Yeah. So it's not a, it's not bad at all. He did start every game in last year's season, totaling 29 tackles, 5.5 of those for loss with 2 sacks. Again, Pittsburgh, if they were to draft a defensive tackle specifically, would be for the benefit against the run game, not necessarily pass rush. So the 2 sacks doesn't scare me or worry me or anything like that. Those guys are more like the anchor. You're making sure that nobody gets past you in the middle and you force things outside so the linebackers, edge guys can kind of clean stuff up in the backfield. But yeah, I mean, 31-inch vert isn't bad and a 9.5 broad also isn't bad. It's just the strength there. But again, we've talked about this before. Take the year off and hit the weight room.
Yeah.
Put him on the freaking protected list on the practice squad and let him hit the weights.
Yep, this is when you look at measurables on a guy like this, it reminds me a lot of what Isaiah Buggs was coming out. And Isaiah Buggs was like a 6th-round pick. You know, you didn't expect a ton out of him. If he developed into something fantastic, but you also didn't have anything really highly invested. He was like a 6th- or 7th-round dude.
Yeah.
So this is kind of what I expect out of Derek Tangelo, is he'll be a later round draft pick, or he'll be a priority undrafted free agent. So I would expect one of those to happen. Now, a guy that it's expected to be quite a bit higher than that is an offensive tackle that we've got on this list here. I think the only draft eligible one that anyone's expecting to be drafted this year, which is going to be Rashid Walker, played right tackle for Penn State. I think he started most of the year, his senior season, 6'5.5", 313 pounds, with 33 5/8-inch long arms, which is pretty good length. Penn State is not known for having the greatest offensive lineman in the world, but this is expected to be a 3rd- or 4th-round pick. He's got the frame of what you're looking for. So yeah. I do feel like somebody will give him a shot just because he played against Highland and competition. And he was probably the best that they had on the team. So that at least says something.
The only downfall for him is he did not participate in the combine or the pro day due to an undisclosed 2021 injury. But he was a 3-year starter at left tackle. He also was a third team all Big Ten pick by conference coaches last fall as well. So those are kind of important for sure. Again, Rashid Walker, potential offensive tackle. They have him ranked at 105th. Again, the not participating undisclosed injuries may affect that a little bit. The last guy we're going to talk about is someone that Pittsburgh better not draft or even think of, and you have something else to say first.
Yeah, real quick on Rashid Walker, the reason that's going to be significant for Pittsburgh is the lack of offensive tackle depth currently. We have what we believe as the starters in Dan Moore and Chukwuma Okorafor. Joe Haag, the only significant backup offensive tackle right now. So we do expect Pittsburgh to do something to bolster that offensive tackle room. And they really do like taking offensive tackles in the third and fourth round. That's a pretty popular thing for them. So, go ahead and continue your intro there on this final Penn State Nittany Lion, who I'm already going to tell you I'm going to disagree on.
I'm going to fight you. Jordan Stout, the punter.
Yes.
Is somebody Pittsburgh should not draft, to clarify. Bring him in undrafted. Let him fight for, practice squad spot, whatever. Anyways, I can't believe you right now. He ran a 4.65. He punched the ball really well. Okay, moving on. On next week's episode of the podcast.
You are not going to get away with shutting me out about Jordan Stout conversation. I'll tell you that right now. Kickers are people too, Cody. I'll tell you what, man. So Jordan Stout, his senior year, was not just the starting punter. He was the starting place kicker as well. He did kickoffs, and dang near every single one of them went out of the end zone. And he's a pretty accurate field goal kicker, but he's an even better punter than he was field goal kicker. So the benefit of having a guy like him on your roster is that you have a backup field goal kicker in your punter who's capable. Last year we saw in a game where Boswell went down, Pittsburgh had to go for two and could not execute an extra point even attempt because Presley Harvin was so uncomfortable attempting an extra point kick. So this is somebody who could conceivably be an upgrade over Presley Harvin. I don't want them to necessarily go ahead and draft a guy when they just drafted Presley Harvin last year. I'm just saying if you have a guy like this on your practice squad, you don't need to have both a backup kicker and a backup punter. You got one guy can fill both positions. And I'd even go as far as saying I'd have him as one of the protected players every week so that nobody could poach him off your practice squad.
That's fair. I'm still not... Let me clarify. I don't disagree with you. If you can get him undrafted, bring him in, potentially upgrade with the kicking thing, practice squad, protected, whatever. All those things are great. I don't want to say waste either, because I didn't mind the Presley Harvin pick last year, and you called it before it even happened. If they wind up drafting, or if they wind up signing this guy,
it makes it look like a wasted pick last year.
It does. It does.
Yeah. I get it.
But whatever. Undrafted, I'm fine. Drafted, I'm not. That's where we're going to end it, period.
That's exactly how it was when the Steelers went out and drafted Mason Rudolph. Ben Roethlisberger was furious because the year before they had just drafted Josh Dobbs. And he said, well, what the heck was the point of drafting Josh if you're just going to go out and draft Mason the next year?
Yep.
So he was really upset about that. But similar idea, I get it. I just think as far as a depth piece, he'd be a tremendous backup for both the punter and kicker, and maybe end up actually being a better punter than Presley.
Fair enough. But that's going to wind up ending finishing winding down, whatever you would call it.
Wrapping it up.
This episode, again, we talked about the Penn State players eligible for the draft. Not all of them, but the majority of them. There may be one or two more that we didn't talk about, but these are the main ones on people's target boards. I think there was also two walk-on players that are technically draft eligible. But again, we can't thank you guys enough for listening. If you're watching on YouTube, wherever you're viewing this information or hearing us, we can't thank you enough for following, liking, subscribing, whatever it is. Again, be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Make sure you subscribe. It's free, and ring the bell. That's what it's called, James, from the last episode. You couldn't remember what it was. we can't thank you guys enough. So, until next time, this is your hosts, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.